you're in the home 6010.
Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus. You can watch us every day, Monday through Friday, at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feads, as well as the ESPN app, one tap. And if you're listening to the audio feed, today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Happy Marathon Tuesday. That's where our dog is 17th.
It's a big day. Today's a big day. Today's a big day, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why. So first off, it is Marathon today, 7 p.m. Eastern tonight. If you're listening to this, it's Tuesday.
Yes.
Tuesday, August 17th. So, you know, sometimes people listen to the podcast a few days later. For people that are listening today or watching us on the live stream, 7 p.m. tonight on ESPN, I believe, right? I believe it's on ESPN, not E2.
I think it was FS1.
Yeah, it might be. No, stop it. It's 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. I would like everyone to know that was Daniel Dopp, not Matthew Berry. Stepping out of school there.
Trolling.
And so, and by the way, it's also, it's Love Hate Day.
Yes.
It is Love Hate Day. There was a time in which there was some conversation that it might not happen, but it did happen, and it's 100% free. It's on the homepage now. Check it out. ESPN.com. Use it in the fantasy app, the ESPN app, ESPN.com. It is available for your perusing pleasure.
That's great news. Always a very, very fun read. How many words, approximately?
10,000.
10,000. Okay, that's...
It's a lot.
Only like 6,000 fewer than I thought it might be. So,
yeah, there you go.
A brief free, something you can...
I literally got a text from... I got a text from... our old buddy Greg Rosenstein.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh. Rosie. And he was just like over under 20K. And I'm like, it's a 10K,
dude. 10K. Rosie's 10K, Rosie. Don't tell him I said that, though. We are going to do double trouble today. We'll cover both the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the reigning defending Super Bowl champions. But before we get to that, we've got some breaking news.
Breaking news.
Do we not have PM Radio.
Breaking news. Pretty good right there. In news that literally nobody, and I mean nobody, saw coming. I mean, seriously, this is the upset of perhaps the century. Think about the great upsets in sports history. The 1983 North Carolina State run to the national championship in basketball.
Yep.
U.S. upsetting the USSR all the way back in 1980 in Lake Placid.
Do you believe in miracles? Sure.
The miracle of the Super Bowl century when the Patriots defeated the Rams, the greatest show on turf, and they were two touchdown underdogs. How about this?
David Tyree. The undefeated Patriots.
Yes.
Fourth and 10, Eli Manning to David Tyree.
That's right.
Giants win the Super Bowl. Huge upset.
Huge upset. But the hugest, if that's the word. If that's a word.
Sure.
Hugest of upsets.
We'll allow it.
The Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry has been renewed for another season on ESPN Plus.
Yeah!
All right. Yes. Literally, no one saw this coming. Yeah.
Look.
Who do you have to thank?
Everyone. Everyone or no one. And by no one, I mean maybe it's just there's a chance, and I think there's a very good chance that literally no one at ESPN Plus is watching the show, and they don't understand what we're doing. They're busy with Stephen A's world. They're like, we gotta sign, you know, Peyton Manning to another season of Peyton's Places. Let's expand that franchise. We got UFC going on. We got all these other things going on. We got soccer, you know, MLB. We got NHL coming back. And they're just like, is there a fantasy thing? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Let's figure that out. Somebody write that down. We should check that out in a couple of months, see if we actually are doing a fantasy thing. So I think there's a chance that just ESPN Plus isn't aware.
Okay.
You know, this is one of those things that's like, you know how with your phone bill or something like that, like if you don't cancel at a certain time, it just automatically renews.
Right.
You sign up for subscriptions. That's what I think it is with the fantasy show. Like I just think somebody didn't read the contract and it just automatically renewed.
Is Daniel taking over lead host duties this year or no?
He's tried to.
It's going
to
be the Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry hosted by Daniel Dopp, is what we decided.
Awesome. Daniel brought that up yesterday on the set. There's a brand new episode. There's a love hate episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus.
Right.
And listen, real talk, we'll talk for about 30 seconds then we move on here. But very quickly, I will say, you know, much thanks and praise legitimate to Norby Williamson, who 5 years ago sat me down in his office and said, hey, I want you to do a fantasy show. You talking to the camera, sort of like Mad Money and Jim Cramer, but about fantasy sports. He says, that's my only requirement. And my only two requirements are that. I want you just talking to the camera about fantasy, and it can't look like anything else on ESPN. And other than that, go at it. And so Ed Eck and I sat in his office for 6 weeks and said, let's just make ourselves laugh. And a lot of other people came along for the ride, and we thought, well, this is going to be canceled in 3 weeks. Like, you know, we've got puppets and a talking robot, and we hired Daniel as the co-host, right. and we're just like, well, let's just make ourselves laugh and whatever. We're closing in on 300 episodes.
If it makes you feel any better, the three of us had that exact same conversation.
Sure.
We just didn't tell you that at the time because we were kind of banking on it being like a short run. Like,
yeah, everyone did.
This is like Blake Bortles in Green Bay, you know, like.
We literally have a puppet called Norby.
Yeah.
Like, we have, like, you know, and God bless Norby Williamson. And anyway, so he, you know, anyway, he's been an incredible champion of the show and a supporter. And anyway, it is one of my favorite things to do in the world.
Well,
is to do that show and to do it with Daniel and to do it with Ed and Dennis and DJ and Tatiana. Alexa, yep. And... who am I forgetting?
Too many people.
Yeah. And so anyway, just the entire crew over there is just awesome. Oh, Damien, how could I forget the Statapillar? Damien, our director, has been fantastic. Like all the directors that have been with the show. So anyway,
a lot of love for the guests, which is interesting.
Stefania, Mike Clay.
I haven't even been introduced on today's show yet, so I just figured.
Whoa! I'll tell you why. You want to know why that is, Stefania? I'll tell you exactly why that is. All right, so just everyone know, behind the curtain, whatever. We're off the rails already, but whatever. It's love, hate day. It's marathon day. You're about to get 28 hours of fantasy football knowledge. It'll be fine. Here's what I'll tell you. Prior to the show, Thirsty Kyle is in here, and we're going over some stuff, and Thirsty Kyle has a great trivia question, which is... There were only two quarterbacks last year with 300 passing yards and a rushing touchdown in consecutive games.
Here.
Who were there? Joe Burrow and one other person. He goes, you guys get 10 guesses. And Stefania did like seven of them, rolled through them. And I would have gotten it.
It didn't go so exactly that way. You know what? Yeah. First of all, you know,
what do you
cheater,
got?
Liar, all those things. Here's what Kyle said.
Yeah.
I bet you wouldn't ever guess it in 10 guesses. He was also talking to me.
He was not talking to you. He was talking to the group. The group at large,
as
Starfania.
As I started guessing, Matthew started chiming in and then counted my guesses. And anyway, the rest is history.
All I know is my wife told me I have to figure something out to do this weekend because she has some girls' night with Stefania.
Oh, nice.
Yes!
Congrats. That sounds awesome.
The highlight of my week. Yeah. Well, besides, you know, being with Field and Daniel.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Anyway, check out the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. Check out the marathon tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN for the next 24 hours. And, of course, check out Love Hate on ESPN.com. I am a company man.
Brandy crushing it upstairs.
Oh, all right, time now for a little game of Double Trouble.
Brandy was crushing it upstairs.
Just give us a second.
Double trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Love that drop. Always will. Let's talk about the New Orleans Saints first. And, of course, there is a changing of the guard at quarterback. Drew Brees off to retirement and broadcasting. Congratulations on a remarkable career. The second highest scoring player in the history of fantasy football. Behind some Brady guy. We'll talk about him a little later on in the show. But Drew Brees is gone from New Orleans, at least with the Saints, and they're going to have a quarterback battle. They are having a quarterback battle right now, Matthew, between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. The Saints.
Do you think it's a battle?
Yes. Obviously. You don't?
Is it? Here's my question.
No, I'm not kidding. Who's the quarterback then?
I think it's Taysom Hill.
Oh, it's a battle, dude, for sure.
Think so? You think, I'm just asking, real talk for a second.
Legitimately, it's a battle.
You think Sean Payton in his mind doesn't know who his starting quarterback is on day one right now?
I mean, do I personally believe it will be Taysom Hill? Yes. Is it a battle? Absolutely.
Okay.
It's the most authentic battle in the entire NFL.
Okay.
Trey Lance and Justin Fields and Mac Jones, like, those are a battle, but we all know they're going to eventually win.
Right.
Right. Like, they're going to eventually become that job. It's Denver and New Orleans as the two most authentic quarterback competitions in the entire NFL.
I buy that, but I'm just saying, like, you really think Sean Payton's got no idea who his number one quarterback is? You know, again, we reference this. Did the Adam Schefter podcast the other day.
Yeah.
Myself and Austin Eckler were guests of Schefty. Highly recommend you listen to it. Or just download. Schefty also cares about the clicks.
Those are good.
Schefty said, like, as we were talking about players, follow the money.
Yes! That's what I was just going to say.
Hill signed to $140 million. Whatever. But jokes aside, the guaranteed money for Taysom Hill is real.
No.
It's not $140 million. That's a baloney contract. But the guaranteed money of that $140 million is
zero.
There's zero guaranteed money? No, that's not true.
There's zero guaranteed money. It's a four-year, $140 million. It's completely funny money.
Right.
All it is, it's a salary cap mechanism for them to reduce his cap hit this year. And this is getting way too far into the weeds, if you add void years, there are rules that prevent you from having void year salaries that are lower than a new contract that you would sign. Okay?
Okay.
So if you sign him to a four-year, $8 million voidable contract, then you can't re-sign him after that to a contract for 4 years and like $10 million. You'd have to sign it for less than 4 years, $8 million. This year, Jameis Winston was re-signed with the opportunity to make up to $12 million.
Right.
Taysom Hill was re-signed last year for 2 years and $21 million. So $10.5 million per year versus $12 million per year. And now Jameis has to hit some incentives to get the 12.
Right.
The point is that, like, I feel you on the following the money part, and I believe Taysom Hill will be the starting quarterback in week one.
I do as well.
It is not a massive money difference. It really is not.
I was just thinking more guaranteed years for Taysom Hill versus
there's no guarantee. He's a free agent after this year. Both of them are.
See, I thought Taysom Hill had 2 years guaranteed. All right, that's fine.
Yeah,
but so, this is why I should stick with puppets and not contracts.
Right, yeah. Correct. This is why you have a fantasy show. You're not Bobby Marshall, the NFL, right?
Exactly. You're the money guy. You're the contract guy. You're the guy that talks to all the agents. I'm the guy that talks to Felt. But here's what I will say.
It's Felt and Daniel.
I believe it's competition.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
I believe it's going to be Taysom Hill and whatever, whether it's competition or not, I believe Sean Payton has some inkling. Now, could Jameis Winston completely blow him out of the water in the next 2 weeks and next 3 weeks and win the job? But I think if, you know, gun to his head, Sean Payton, you got to name a starting quarterback today. I think it's Taysom Hill.
I believe that as well. I also believe that, like, the dynamic is like 55-45 is my estimation of it. Not like a 80-20 and Taysom has to really stink over the next 2 weeks and Jameis has to be Drew Brees 2.0 over the next couple of weeks. Like, I think it's a close one.
Yeah, fair enough. And here's something else I would say. And I do think that if Taysom Hill is named the starter, I think it's unlikely that we see Jameis Winston. Whereas if Jameis Winston were named the starter, you would still see Taysom Hill. Think about Drew Brees. Drew Brees was the starter, but they had packages for Taysom Hill.
Right.
They had red zone packages. They'd bring him in for some gadget plays. If Jameis Winston were the starter, then I think you still see some Taysom Hill packages. But it feels weird that if Taysom Hill's your starter, all of a sudden you're bringing in Jameis Winston to throw a pass.
You're not going to do that.
Exactly.
Right, yes.
That's
so
my point.
Let's talk about those possibilities.
Okay, but let me just, all I'm going to say here is that Taysom Hill, and save your tight end jokes, but Taysom Hill, for the 4 weeks where he was a starter last year, was a top 12 fantasy quarterback.
He was fantastic.
And he is going undrafted in ESPN leagues. We're sitting here talking about Trey Lance and Justin Fields and Jalen Hurts and all these guys that have massive rushing upside. So does Taysom Hill. And all those guys, Jalen Hurts is going inside the top 12. Lance and Fields are going inside the top 20. No one is drafting Taysom Hill. And if you knew that Taysom Hill was the starting quarterback of the Saints, wouldn't you take this guy's going to be a top 12 fantasy quarterback as long as he's out there?
I mean, here's the thing: is like I think we're getting a little bit close to the point. 12-ish. That's the thing. Is it ish? Is the important word?
He's free.
Hold on.
Okay.
We're getting to the point now that we've made the argument. Like, if you knew this guy was going to be the starter for all 6-17 games, he'd be a top 12-ish quarterback, right? Like Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Taysom Hill. We talked about maybe Cam Newton in the best world. Like, that's a lot of guys on top of the players that are going to be the starters no matter what. And already have that kind of upside. So if Taysom Hill was named the starter at the end of the preseason, because I don't get the sense it'll happen now.
Right.
I also get the sense it won't be like the day before the season begins. I think Dan Graziano had a tweet about this recently. Maybe Kyle can pull it, about something that Sean Payton told him on the record, like when I intend to name this quarterback. If Taysom Hill was named the starter for the season, you're saying that he should be ranked somewhere in the top 12, maybe 14-ish quarterbacks, what you're saying.
He would probably be, because there is some concern and maybe there's a lack of upside that I think somebody more electric like a Fields or a Lance might have, but he would be top 16 for me. If I knew if Sean Payton comes out today and says Taysom Hill's the guy, yes, he would move up into my top 16. And all I'm saying is that I think he is completely being forgotten in fantasy. Again, he's being undrafted in ESPN. I've been in deep super flex and two quarterback league drafts where he goes very late, if at all. Like, I'm just saying that in four starts, he averaged over 21 fantasy points per game.
He was fantastic.
He was fantastic.
He had exactly two touchdowns in each of those four games.
And I get it. Like, I get it. Michael Thomas is banged up, and Jared Cook isn't there. And so, you know, you're like, he's thrown to Marquez Callaway and Adam Trautman. But I think Sean Payton is one of the best offensive minds in the game. And I think he will maximize the talent that he has around him. And I just think... You want to talk about a value. I think Taysom Hill's a value this year.
How about Jameis Winston? If he were the starter, what's the upside? Similar, less, more?
The upside is not similar because he doesn't run. He doesn't run, and I don't think that given you've got a hobbled Michael Thomas and you've got,
serious depth issues at wide receiver.
Serious depth issues at wide receiver.
No proven tight end yet.
He doesn't.
Promising, but nothing proven.
Right. I mean, so, yeah, he's going to be a... He's a mid-tier tight QB2 if he were the starter the whole time.
I think
he cuts down
on
the interceptions.
Yeah. Like, but 17 to 20 is my guess.
Yeah.
Because as he was that last season. It's also when you're throwing the ball all the time.
All the time.
To Mike Evans and Chris Godwin at the time, O.J. Howard. Like the Bucs have always had an embarrassment of riches at pass catcher.
Yes.
So I think the ceiling is higher for Jameis Winston if he's a starter all season.
Yes. Jameis is 30 for 30 year when he threw 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions and, you know, was like a top six fantasy quarterback. The Bucs had one of the worst defenses in the NFL. The Saints are not going to be a bad defense.
Right. And one thing I will note here that I think makes this very different than San Francisco or Chicago or New England is that I think that the Bucs could yo-yo the situation throughout, the Saints could yo-yo throughout the year, right? Let's say they start the year with Taysom Hill. He struggles for the first three games. They bring Jameis in. Jameis struggles for four games. They could go back to Taysom.
Sure.
Whereas once the toothpaste is out of the tube in San Francisco, like, you're not going to turn to Trey Lance and then be like, yeah, you know what? Never mind. Like, or you're not going to go to Justin Fields in Chicago and say, nah, Andy Dalton, like, you're back on board. I think that's a
really good point. I definitely think I would not want to go into the season with Taysom Hill as my only fantasy quarterback. I do think that if you were in a really deep league and you just said, I'm drafting Hill and Winston, and you're saying, I'm going with a Saints quarterback
like, year.
Like, in our 16-team war room league, like, that's not a terrible strategy.
Not terrible, yeah.
It's not great. It's not ideal.
Like,
but
if
like
you did that for your second and third pick in that draft, I would probably applaud it.
I think that I don't want to steal that from the Irish Twins. That should be all about – that's what the Irish Twins should be doing.
We're taking a kicker in the second round.
Yeah, nice.
Safety, yeah.
But at any rate, all I'm saying is that I would not want Taysom Hill to be my only quarterback, but do I think he's being underdrafted significantly? I do.
Yeah.
And just – He's in love hate.
There we go. Little teaser for
little
love
teaser.
Hate. Let's talk about
there,
Alvin
now
Kamara.
You only have 9,900 words to read.
So Alvin Kamara,
yes,
last
sir,
year finished as RB1 on a points per game basis, in large part because he had six touchdowns on Christmas Day. So I'm not trying to say that the numbers were distorted, but up to that point, I think he was RB3, maybe going into that Christmas Day miracle. So he had 15 games last year. In 15 games, he had 187 carries. Not a lot. That's
right.
Like, I think he had one game. Actually, I know he had one game with at least 20 carries last year. But where he was remarkable was he had 16 rushing touchdowns and 83 catches plus five more receiving touchdowns, Matthew. You have him at RB3. I have him at RB3. Daniel has him at RB3. RB4, excuse me. His ADP is RB3. This is where he belongs. I mean, there's a case for him as RB2, but I think he is two in most optimistic projections. Four in most pessimistic projections. The only thing that makes you a little bit concerned, there's only one thing.
There's one thing. Yep, go for it.
Last year, in the four games Taysom Hill did start, here were his catch totals. Remember, I told you, he had 83 catches in 15 games last year. So that's over, 15 times, five gets you to 75. So that's 5.3 on average, okay?
He's had 80 or more catches four straight years.
81, 81, 81, and then 83 specifically.
Yeah.
Amazing. Zero catches. One catch, two catch, seven catches in the four games with Taysom Hill as a starting quarterback. Now, those seven catches were the final game that Taysom started, and one of those games was the game against Denver where they were starting Kendall Hinton, where it wasn't even really a game, right?
Right.
It's a little bit of an outlier. But we saw how much more reliant the Saints were on him as a pass catcher when Drew Brees was out there.
Sure.
If Taysom Hill is a starting quarterback, are you slotting Alvin Kamara down to like RB4 or 5 behind the likes of Ezekiel Elliott and Derrick Henry and maybe even Saquon Barkley?
Well, not me on Saquon, you know that. But
okay.
But yes, I think there's an argument. Like if Taysom Hill were named the starter and you took him at 5, I don't think I look at you crazy. Yeah. You know, and honestly, if you took him at six when and you took Kelsey ahead of him, also don't look at you crazy. Not what I would do. Again, he's my number three running back. But yeah, 14 in those four games that Hill started, a 14% target share. You average four targets a game. And, you know, just whatever. Hill's instinct, when the play breaks down, Hill's instinct is to run. When the play broke down for Drew Brees, his instinct was to dump it off to Alvin Kamara, right? You know, and there were some designed, you know, passes to Kamara as well. But just Hill's instinct is always to, is at least last year, was to run, mm-hmm. was to tuck it and run.
That's fair, yeah.
And by the way, it worked. He's obviously very athletic. So that is a slight concern. But I think ultimately, again, we just talked about this. Sean Payton is one of the most creative offensive minds in football. I don't think there's any disagreement about that. That, like, you know, he's a great offensive football coach, great coach, but obviously one of the better offensive minds in football. And as he approaches this year without Drew Brees, his first year without Drew Brees on the roster, and he's looking around like, all right, how do I maximize talent? Yep. It gets to 41 pretty quick.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's going to be, like, it's definitely possible that the 80 catch threshold is a little bit more out of reach if Taysom Hill is a starter, but I don't think it's going to crater to the point where Alvin Kamara has like 25 or 30 catches, right? Like maybe it's more like 65 as opposed to 80. But when you're deciding between Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara at the top of the board, those are the kind of things that can make a difference, especially when you factor in that like touchdowns are the hardest thing to predict year over year, except for generally with those two players. I guess both of them, but especially Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah, I mean, the knock on Derrick Henry is, do the wheels fall off? Like, he's had a massive workload for the last couple of years. And
not
like right. But then you like, but then you're also like, oh, that's right. Derrick Henry is built different than every other human on the planet.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, 6'4", 250 pounds. Right. Not normal.
He just like, his DNA, it doesn't seem realistic that his DNA and my DNA are in some way similar. That somehow we were this part of the same species.
Well, right. That part technically true.
I would just that, like, whatever. Really. Yeah. Derrick Henry is just built differently than the rest of us. And so I agree with you, but that would be the knock against quote unquote Derrick Henry. I have the fifth pick. I'm doing a expert super flex. I'm doing an expert league draft right now. I'm in the middle of it's a best ball with a bunch of other fantasy analysts. Our friend Jake Seeley is running it.
Okay.
And I had the fifth pick and Derrick Henry dropped to me. I'm like, what?
So who was the surprise before him? Zeke Elliott?
Zeke.
That's not that big of a surprise to me.
It wasn't that big of a surprise, but I was surprised. But Kamara and Zeke, I was just like, okay. Bingo, bango.
In a minute, we have to talk about Michael Thomas, and of course, defying his insight will be invaluable there. Mm-hmm. But just quickly before we have a couple of live reads, Latavius Murray-Matthew, you think he has standalone value this year, even if Alvin Kamara's on the field? Because we know, as an insurance policy, he's one of the five most important in the entire league because when he's been the man, and it has not been frequently in New Orleans, but when he has been, he's been remarkable.
Yeah, I really like him. Look, I have him I'm the highest on him. I have him running back 39. He's actually being undrafted in 75% of ESPN leagues, and I'm inside my top 40. So I think there's a couple of things here. First off, I think the injury of Michael Thomas and the fact that my expectation is Taysom Hill's named the starter in New Orleans means they're going to go run heavy this year. They're going to be a lot more run heavy than we've seen previously under Drew Brees. And so I think when you go run heavy, you're going to see Kamara, but I think Latavius Murray gets enough run that he becomes flex viable in 12-team and deeper leagues. At least, you know, if you're not playing a wide receiver there.
Valuable piece.
Right. And by the way, just again, right, one of the most valuable insurance guys out there because, like, in the couple games that Alvin Kamara missed, like, guys, you know, like, whatever, 2 years ago, guy was a top five fantasy running back.
I think of A.J. Dillon as a souped-up version of Latavius Murray. Like,
sure.
More talented at this point of his career. He's going to have some games where he rushes for, like, 80 to 100 yards. If something happened to Aaron Jones or Alvin Kamara, those guys would be inside our top 10 every single week. All right, we're talking about Michael Thomas in just a minute. But
and that's by the way, just if you read the Draft Day Manifesto, that's a whole big thing about like getting guys like that because it's not enough about having guys that can be good. It's about knowing when to start those guys. When Alvin Kamara's out, you know to start Latavius Murray. When Aaron Jones is out, you know to start A.J. Dillon. Getting guys like that that you know will produce, you know, and knowing when to start them is, I think, a key part of the end of your draft.
I'm a little bit tired right now. You know that?
Why?
Because I'm tired.
That's not good. You're about ready to do like 28 hours of fantasy football stuff, dude.
I have a good idea. I had to charge myself up. You know what?
What's that? What are you going to do?
5-hour energy is the one when you got to get stuff done. Whether you have a long list to do for work or a list of DIY projects to tackle at home or a fantasy marathon coming up, take a 5-hour energy shot so you can check everything off your list. If you're like me, since you are spending more time at home, you now have a large list of projects for the house. When you get your supplies for the project, do not forget the most essential one, which is a 5-hour energy shot. 5-Hour Energy is the brand hardworking people like you have trusted for 17 years to give them the alert, energized feeling they need to get through a busy, hectic day. You always know where to find 5-Hour Energy shots right at the cash register at nearly every convenience, drug, and grocery store nationwide. Stock up on money-saving multi-packs to make sure you never run out of delicious, energizing 5-Hour Energy shots.
Do you own or rent your home?
Yep.
Yeah, sure you do, and I'll bet it can be real hard work, too. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right. Time for one of the most confusing injury situations in the NFL right now. Michael Thomas suffered an ankle injury in week one of 2020. It was not enough to keep him out for the entire year, and yet here we are, almost 11 months later, and it's still bothering him. Stefania Bell, walk us through what the heck happened and when we could see Michael Thomas back on the field.
Yeah, Field, he was injured week one, like you mentioned, had a high ankle sprain. And, you know, these get lumped into everybody projecting a 4 to 6 week return. But there's really a lot of nuance with these injuries. And if you have a significant enough ankle sprain, it not only affects the ligaments at the roof of the ankle, which is why it's called a high ankle sprain, but it can actually extend into the ligaments on the inside of the ankle, the deltoid ligament, the one that reinforces all your stability at the ankle joint. And obviously, if you're a receiver like Michael Thomas, you have to move around, jump, land, plant, cut, all those things. If you have instability, you're not going to be able to do it. And what we saw was that he could not be effective, really, for the rest of the year. That ankle was bothering him, nagging at him throughout the season. After the season, our Adam Schefter put out a tweet saying that Michael Thomas was expected to undergo ankle surgery when the season ended. And I think everybody just assumed it would happen. Perhaps the Saints did as well. But ultimately, it did not happen right away. And there's clearly been some back and forth publicly about, you know, why that was the result. But doesn't make a difference here. The point is he ended up having surgery in June. So he could have had it in January. He had it in June. This is a big surgery. It takes about 4 to 6 months to recover from it, depending on the athlete. Now, Michael Thomas is exceptionally dedicated, very hard worker, very focused. So once he had the surgery, my understanding is that he's been extremely diligent with his rehab and could actually come back on the early side of this. So I think people were assuming, hey, he might just, you know, stay on the PUP list, not come back till after week six. The team has a bye late. But I actually think he could be back sooner than that. There was a couple good signs if you're trying to read tea leaves, right? He was out there with his teammates, still wearing a boot. Sean Payton actually said that he's coming along ahead of schedule with his rehab. So a little positive hint from a coach who had clearly been publicly not totally thrilled with where things stood with Michael Thomas. So the good news for fantasy managers who might be considering Michael Thomas is that once you have this surgery, you should not have problems going forward. The Saints will wait until he's ready to go to clear him to return. But had he not had it done, I would not have trusted him at all this year. So I think it's most important that he had it done. And when he comes back, I think you could potentially see the same guy.
Well, that would be excellent news because when he was actually the normal version of Michael Thomas, we know he was record-setting. He had 149 catches just two seasons ago, the most in a single season in NFL history. And we think the fences are starting to be mended between New Orleans and Michael Thomas. He's very frustrated with them, and they seem frustrated with him. We'll see whether he's a Saint beyond this season. I'm not sure there's much they can do this year. So let's talk strategy, Matthew, draft strategy for Michael Thomas, because worth noting that last year in the four games that Taysom Hill was the starting quarterback, Michael Thomas did not have a receiving touchdown, but he was heavily targeted in those four games. I pulled up the numbers. Let me see if I can grab them from my phone right now, which would be better to have had them before I started to make this point. But he, in four games last year, 30 catches on 37 targets for 344 yards. So 80-plus yards per game, almost 85 yards per game.
30 catches, you said?
30 catches in four games. That's pretty good, right?
That's pretty good.
So 7.5 catches per game for 85 yards per game. And fantasy and PPR scoring, that's 16 points per game. That's good for Michael Thomas with Taysom Hill. But how long can you afford to wait based off where you're drafting him? So how high are you drafting Michael Thomas? I know we've had this conversation earlier on in the season.
Right.
But the question I sort of have is it worth maybe getting ahead of his current ADP, knowing that you're not going to have him to begin the season, but knowing that when you do have him, you have potentially a top 10 fantasy wide receiver?
Not for me. Again, like to me, there's just a lot of... So in terms of where he's going in ADP, right? No, I understand. So he's like, he's going as wide receiver 33, which is, by the way, where I have him ranked as well. I'm slightly higher at wide receiver 30, but he's going like Jerry Jeudy. He's going in that range. Like there's some upside guys there, like some guys that I have like right around him. I'll just say in terms of my rankings, like I'm right there with like Antonio Brown, Deebo Samuel, Odell Beckham Jr., right? Chase Claypool. Like those are some of the guys in that range. And so I don't know that I would reach up for him. One of the concerns on him last year, he was 81st among qualified wide receivers in fantasy points per target. This is a guy that used to be incredibly efficient, and last year that sort of went away. So there's a lot of things that concern you about Michael Thomas in terms of me. Does he get the same kind of volume? Is that team as pass heavy as possible? Does he stay healthy? He's going to miss some games. We don't know how many, right? But we know he's going to miss at least some time, right? And then you get to, like, I don't have a stat for this field.
Okay.
I get bad vibes. I get bad vibes out of New Orleans and that whole situation. I know you said it seems like they're trying to mend some fences. Who knows? Like, you know, like.
But they have to mend some fences, which is a problem in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
I agree. Yeah,
and by the way, and like, they mend fences and maybe they mend them and it's like, it's great. And maybe they mend it and it's a Band-Aid and it comes off after one game. And just like, something's wrong there, and something's wrong in a deep-seated way, right? And unlike the Green Bay Aaron Rodgers situation, where basically Aaron got something he wanted, he gets to get out after this year. Aaron's like, all right, fine. I'll come back, and you're going to let me out after this year. So, but to this point, Michael hasn't got – we don't know what the issue is, but whatever it is, it hasn't been resolved. And so are the same –
Well, I think the issue is just that they called him out. That was his issue, is that he feels like – they could have taken the high road, and he feels as if they did not take the high road. They feel as though he could have had surgery 7 months ago.
Scottie Pippen.
I think you're right. Like, but the thing is, I don't think he's searching for anything other than like a little bit more respect that he feels as though may have been lost when they made those comments publicly about how they kind of wished he had had surgery sooner.
Right. But so, don't you think that's a continuation of it? Felt like there was bad stuff going on last year too.
Oh, no question.
I'm just saying like it wasn't like Michael Thomas and the Saints relationship.
The guy got suspended for a game for punching a teammate in practice.
Exactly.
Like I'm not.
I mean,
not
like I'm just
mystery,
saying,
right?
Like it's not like things were all peachy keen, and then they kind of threw him under the bus this offseason. Now he's just like, well, you know, to heck with you guys. Like it's been bad for a while.
Yeah. So I have a harder time like pinpointing where the vibes are or will be once he returns. I think he's a super super talented player.
Obviously.
I think at a different position other than wide receiver, I might buy into the strategy more. Of what I was suggesting, where you get ahead of the curve. I just think that we don't know specifically how many games it will be. And by the time we get to, let's say it is week 7 when he gets here, right? I might already have had enough players break through at wide receiver that I don't even necessarily need to worry about having Michael Thomas on my bench, because even if he does return in week 7, there's not a guarantee, whether it's because of touchdown equity, the offense itself, the quarterback play, that he is a guaranteed top 10 player. I do think weekly he'll be somewhere like 15 to 20 for me when he returns.
Yeah, maybe. But let's say this. All right. So you're going through your draft, and let's say you wait on wide receiver a little bit. But so your number one wide receiver is, let's call it Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
And then you get like, I don't know, you get like CeeDee Lamb, Robert Woods, somebody like that. So that's a 1-2.
I love this.
That's how deep it is, right?
Right.
Let's say you grab as your third wide receiver, let's say you grab a Tyler Lockett. Okay.
That sounds amazing.
Right? Right, exactly. So now it's time for your fourth wide receiver. You got a choice. Michael Thomas or like Brandon Ayuk?
Oh, Brandon Ayuk, because he's on the guys
list. Of course,
because
he's one of your guys. But my point is everyone in their draft is going to have one of their guys. They're going to have a Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
And so for you, it's Brandon Ayuk, but for somebody else, it might be T. Higgins, right?
Or, also on the guys list.
Right, exactly. T. Higgins is on the love list. And so, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I just, or Jerry Jeudy or what, or Chase Claypool or what, it's blah, fair. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just saying, I don't think anyone's going to have Michael Thomas as their guy.
Fair enough. Well, he probably has a reasonable case to be the guy. I mean, the guy.
Of course, the guy was the number one wide receiver in fantasy 2 years ago.
I do think, just a level set here, and we got to keep moving because we have an entire team to talk about still. But I do think that, I do wonder if maybe the hate, and I think hate's a very relative term, but has gone too far. Michael Thomas is still a remarkable player. I know Twitter finds it to be polarizing, and Falcons fans calling him slant boy and stuff like that. The dude had 149 catches and over 1,700 receiving yards. He's a bona fide superstar. But I am nervous about everybody else who's catching passes in New Orleans, Matthew. I'll give you the names. Marquez Callaway, Tre'Quan Smith, Chris Hogan's on the roster right now. Adam Troutman, one of their...
great Chris Hogan.
Yeah, he is. Juwan Johnson, Adam Troutman at tight end. Is there anybody who merits a draft pick amongst the other Saints pass catchers?
I don't mind Callaway as like a late-round flyer. Like, you know, we talk about all these late-round flyer wide receivers, but Marquez Callaway has had a really nice camp, and somebody's going to have to catch passes for that team. So I don't mind him as a late-round flyer. And I will say I do really like Adam Troutman. I know he has. I didn't know he didn't do anything in week one, but I do think that offense traditionally has always targeted the tight end. It's going to be the same offense. And whether it's Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston, Troutman is a talented second-year player. No Jared Cook there. Jared Cook, by the way, got a ton of red zone looks last year. You know, and so I do like Adam Troutman as kind of a later round tight end flyer in the who could be this year's Darren Waller, Logan Thomas, Robert Tonyan type.
Wow. Yeah.
Trotman's on that list.
Okay, that sounds like a best case scenario.
Obviously,
but I have loved the buzz that we've heard throughout really last year and also the preseason and the OTAs from this past year surrounding Adam Troutman. He seems to be a player the Saints believe has some eventual upside. I'm a little nervous for
Darren
the wide
Wall
receivers.
From 2 years, of course. Just saying. Like,
I'm a little nervous that the Saints wide receivers until Michael Thomas returns will kind of remind me of where we were for stretches of last year with the Patriots wide receivers, where it's like. You know, some of the names we knew, right? Like, Edelman, he got hurt pretty early on in the season. But it's like, you know, N'Keal Harry, right? Like, Damir Bird, like, was a player who'd, like, been in the NFL. You kind of know him when it's like, yeah, he's super fast, could have a game here or there. But I'm not sure I would ever trust any of these Saints.
But Jacoby Myers was useful.
Until Jacoby Myers emerged
right.
late.
So could Marquez Callaway be Jacoby Myers until Michael Thomas shows up?
Right, like a wide receiver 4, maybe a wide receiver 5. Depending on how things shake out. We're going to talk about the Bucs in just a second.
Oh, yeah. By the way, since 2019, I just see this, Thirsty Kyle. Good note here, Thirsty Kyle. Since 2019, the Saints tight ends are tied for 3rd in touchdown receptions. Just another thing for Adam Troutman, who I have as tight end 17.
Okay. All right. Do we have time for the clip or no?
Why don't we save it for the end of the show? We're running a little bit long. Still want to be able to show it. We got a cool clip from the fantasy show that we just taped. But we run a little bit long, so we're going to save it for the end so we can get some to the Bucs here, if that's okay with you guys.
We're going to talk about the Bucs in just a second. But first, a word from our friends at Corona. Did you know that Tony Romo is a motivational speaker now? All this football season, Tony and Corona are... We're motivating football fans to give the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at RomoMotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. It's true, you can be better at watching football. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit RomoMotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Stefania, imagine a nice vacation for me, okay?
It's been 6 days since she's been on one, Daniel.
Is there a view of a parking lot there, Stefania?
In my vacation?
Yes.
No.
No. So don't book a cheap hotel. Book an expensive hotel for cheap on Hotwire. With hot rate deals, you can stay in a nicer hotel than you ever thought possible. And for Stefania, that's a pretty dang nice hotel. Just select your city, neighborhood, and amenities. Then you get your hot rate. You get better views, king-size beds, and freshly pressed waffle-woven robes.
Nice.
Also, actual waffles for breakfast. Download the Hotwire app now and book beyond your wildest means. All bookings final.
Let's get to the Buccaneers now. And, of course, we start with who other than the GOAT, Tom Brady, the greatest, most accomplished quarterback of all time. Not one, not two, not three, but 7 Super Bowl titles. Last year, he was quarterback 10. On a points-per-game basis, Matthew, this year he is ranked 8th, 9th, and 9th between you, Daniel, and I, respectively. This should be easy by now. He's only been playing for 21 years. Tom Brady is very much a starting caliber fantasy quarterback in a league where very few fantasy quarterbacks are even relevant because they can't run. Tom Brady is highly relevant. He's got the best, or at least close to the best group of pass catchers around him in the NFL. He's a surgeon. I don't know that we need to belabor this that much.
No, and the other thing about him is that not only is obviously, he's amazing and he has incredibly talented pass catchers around him, as good as there is in the NFL, but he is a fantasy-friendly coach. Bruce Arians loves to throw. And so it is rare that a quarterback that doesn't run manages to get into the top 10, but when you throw for 4,600 yards the way that Tom Brady did last year, then that's what happens. He got into the top 10. And by the way, he had two rushing touchdowns. He's always good for like sneaking a couple in. There's no one better at the QB sneak than Tom Brady. Yeah. I would argue that. Like, he's been nothing short of amazing on that for his career. 36 touchdowns last year plus the two rushing touchdowns. So yeah, he's at QB8 because there's maybe a quote lack of upside there with Brady, right? Because of the lack of rushing. But there's also a very high floor.
Yeah, and this offense, as we know, really found their rhythm in the last five games of last regular season. And I know that they played a really soft schedule in those last five games. They just picked apart bad defenses. But it's not like it slowed down in the playoffs, right? They obviously won the Super Bowl, and they have an outstanding defense that played a huge part in that. But I believe that, as Tom Brady said himself, before last year even began, like, wait till we get into year two when I have chemistry and an off season with these guys and a better understanding of how things work, both their understanding of me and my understanding of them. Watch out for this Bucs offense, well, and defense and entire team this year. Let's get to the running backs, though.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I screwed it up. He had 40 touchdowns last year, not 36. I'm reading I'm sorry.
That's Mike's projections.
That was Mike's projections. I'm sorry. That's my bad. So last year, but yeah, had 4,600 passing yards. He had 40 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, he is pretty
sorry about
ridiculous.
That.
Let's get to the running backs. Not the first time.
sorry. Not the first time.
You just like slide it in there and it just sits. I don't know what to do.
Reacted. Sorry. The last time.
That was mean, Matthew.
Worse. I could have blown all of our guesses on the trivia pre-show.
That's true. That's true.
The way Stefania did.
Let's get to the running backs, Matthew. Sure. Bruce Arians has been a head coach for a long, long time. And there have been some great running backs with Bruce Arians coordinating / being the head coach of that offense. David Johnson during their time together in Arizona. But we also know Bruce Arians to be a coach who is fickle when it comes to his running backs. He's touted players as breakthrough candidates at running back, whether it was Andre Ellington, whether it was Ronald Jones last year. And then next thing you know, Ronald Jones plays four snaps. Or he fumbles early in the first half and he doesn't see the ball again until the next game. Are you trusting either Buccaneers running back, or is there a value to be had in either Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette?
I think there potentially is a value to be had in Ronald Jones.
I agree.
Just because of where he's going. I mean, he's going as running back 39.
Right, I agree.
His ADP is in the 14th round. This is a guy that had seven different games with 15 or more touches last year and averaged 17.2 fantasy points per game. He had the ninth most goal-to-go carries. And I feel like they liked him more than Leonard Fournette, is the sense. Now, listen, it goes back and forth, and they brought back Fournette, and we'll talk about Giovanni Bernard here in a second. But I thought that Ronald Jones showed something last year. And so, look, the lack of guaranteed playing time is why he's so low, but running back 39 field, 14th round, come on.
Well, and I know that we talk about this frequently with running backs that play in good offenses, but they could fall into the end zone 10 times, right? Like, and I know that they have Leonard Fournette there who could also fall into the end zone 10 times, and playoff Lenny was a real thing last year. It's complicated. I just would have to, like, it's a gut, nothing more than that. But my gut instinct is that if one of the two of them winds up being of value, I do believe it is Ronald Jones, who I just think is a better pure runner at this point of his career, more explosive than Leonard Fournette, even if Fournette's probably a better and more natural pass catcher.
Right, and I think one of the reasons why I prefer Jones to Fournette, in addition to everything you just said, is that I think Giovanni Bernard is going to be their third down back. You think back all the years that Tom Brady had James White in New England. He always likes having a very good pass-catching running back. Reports out of camp in Tampa Bay is that Giovanni Bernard has been running with the first team, has been in on third down. My expectation is that Bernard is more, you know, has a significant role on third down. And I don't know that it's a significant enough one that you want to draft him in fantasy, except in the deepest of PPR leagues. But I do think it's enough that it hurts Fournette's value, because that was a big part of Fournette's value last year, is that they trusted him more in pass, you know, in passing situations than Ronald Jones, it seemed like.
Right. It felt like the Buccaneers would eventually try to make a play for James White. He was a free agent.
Yep.
There was a little bit of interest there. They ended up going the Giovanni Bernard route instead, and he can be the James White, which for many, many years was a trusted ally of Tom Brady in New England.
Can I know we're running late on time, but can I ask a question?
We're catching up.
Yeah, okay. What do you got?
I mean, last year they used a third-round pick on Keyshawn Vaughn, and it's like the guy just doesn't exist anymore.
Well, Daniel, the good news is when you're the Bucs and you've drafted as proficiently as they have, like, you are never right. going to, and you don't have to hit them all, right? And yeah. Leonard Fournette's going to be a free agent after this year. Giovanni Bernard's going to be a free agent after this year. Ronald Jones has one more year in his contract after this year. Like, that could be a forward-thinking pick or development prospect for them,
okay.
right? It's a good point.
One thing I can say, I can just confirm for you and all the listeners at home.
Correct.
He does, in fact, still exist.
He does.
He has not been
okay.
vaporized in some Avengers Thanos-like snap. He does still exist. He walks the earth. He is a person. He is, you know, blood and guts and sweat and tears. And,
he exists.
Yeah. Okay, he does exist.
That's fair.
Why am I not surprised we got an Avengers reference worked into the podcast?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Are you talking about honestly, that reference.
Oh, we're real short on time.
To be clear, Stefania, that was a reference to Avengers Infinity War, not Avengers Endgame, which I was in, which, of course, is the highest grossing movie of all time worldwide. Mm. No big deal. NBD.
Mm. I had forgotten about that.
I had not heard that before. Yeah.
Still haven't watched it.
You guys want to come over and watch it? It's on Disney Plus.
It'll be my first time.
I bet it's on loop.
I can slow it down for my scene.
I'll tell you what.
It's about an hour and a half in if anyone at home wants to go to my scene.
Slow it down.
We'll get a couple of 5-hour energy shots, Matthew. Watch the entire MCU, and then maybe we'll finish off with some Coronas, maybe towards the end of the night. How does that sound?
Look at you.
We get a 5-hour energy shot to watch Matthew's 5-second scene.
You know what? I'm sorry. It's not as exciting as your movie scene. Oh wait, you don't have a movie scene.
Oh, snap.
You know what?
Oh, snap.
When you guys are in any kind of movie, come talk to me. Until get on my level.
I love it. That's so good.
Get on my level.
Man.
That's right. Avengers Endgame. Highest grossing movie of all time worldwide. Check it out on Disney Plus. Part of the Disney bundle with Hulu and ESPN Plus. I'm a company man.
Man, he's crushing. And so is Brandy.
Total pro. Let's level up to the Bucs wide receivers. They've got three of note here. Mike Evans, wide receiver 16 on a points per game basis last year. You have him at 15. I have him at 13. Daniel has him at 14. Sort of amazing. In his first 7 games catching passes from Tom Brady last year, Mike Evans had 4 games with 2 or fewer catches. Week 1, he had 1 catch. Now, it was for a touchdown, so it sort of salvaged the day, but he came on strong down the stretch. And I think that the last half of last season is a sign of things to come for Mike Evans and this entire Bucs offense. Maybe there's a little bit less upside relative to where he was in previous years, not because of Tom Brady, but because they've got so many pieces now. Huh.
Tom always likes to spread it around. He likes to get everyone involved.
Yep.
And, you know, and because Gronk is back, Gronk is somebody that's going to take some of those, you know, red zone and end zone looks away from Mike Evans. Obviously, both are very good in that area of the field. So, look, Mike Evans is rock solid. He's a rock solid mid-tier RB2. A wide receiver, too.
Yeah. So I completely agree.
I don't know if they need to really discuss it.
No, there's nothing really to discuss. It's just that there were years where he was a rock-solid wide receiver one.
Correct.
Chris Godwin. Let's talk about him. Chris Godwin, who is a franchise tag player this year, checks in at wide receiver 21 for Matthew, 19 for me, 19 for Daniel. Was actually more consistent last year in the 12 games that he played. The difference between he and Mike Evans is that he was like consistently not in the middle, but just like solid. I think he had just one game with 100+ receiving yards last year, but he didn't have those real peaks and valleys like Mike Evans did. Like there was no 2-catch-for-9-yards performance from Chris Godwin. But again, he kind of comfortably slots as a low end wide receiver 2 or potentially an elite wide receiver 3/flex option.
Right. You know, the problem with Godwin is, and problem is a relative term. He's a great wide receiver. He's going to be a fantasy asset this year. Again, he's, you know, I'm at wide receiver 21, you have him at 19. His ADP is wide receiver 18. But why I'm slightly lower on him than consensus is just that he doesn't have as much touchdown equity. Again, we just talked about Evans. We talked about
About that. Well, not as much as Mike Evans, but he's still 7+ touchdowns in 3 straight years.
No, I understand.
Good.
I'm But in terms of, but here's the other thing. See, the next receiver that we're going to get to is where I think, like, I don't know how much you, again, we talk about some of these teams. Do you want Godwin and Evans on your team? You know, do you want Evans and Antonio Brown on your team? Like, how much do you want to invest in any one team's wide receiving core? And so I think Godwin's fine. He's obviously, it's a very good player, but Brady does spread it around. You know, my expectation is that there's a chance he's fourth on this team in receiving touchdowns this year.
Interesting.
Godwin is.
Yeah, there's a chance.
There's a chance.
I mean, behind Mike Evans, Gronk, and Antonio Brown.
Brown, correct.
Like, not like
no, it's not. It's not chopped liver.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad year. You know, I mean, like, which is one of the reasons why we have Brady as a top 10 guy. But that's why I have Godwin there.
I think the Bucs, both of those top two wide receivers, by the way, they do represent a solid floor with the potentially elite ceiling. Like,
of
one
course.
Of them, like, you could draft Chris Godwin, and he could have 105 catches this
Easy.
Year for 1,200 yards, like mm-hmm. he did it a couple of seasons ago. But let's get into the last wide receiver,
right.
Matt, because you and I think, see it differently than the rest of the rankers do.
Right.
You've got him at 34, Antonio Brown. I've got him at 38, and we're by far right. the highest on Antonio Brown this year.
We can go back. Yeah, exactly. So here's the thing on Antonio Brown. Five of his last he played eight games.
Yep.
At least 13.5 fantasy points in five of those eight games. Final four games, over 20 fantasy points a game. He averaged 20.1 fantasy
game.
Points. Yes, absolutely. He had 36 points in week 17. Certainly skewed by that. But remember, two of the three playoff games, he scored a touchdown, including in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. And it's now a second year. Came back. I think that, again, now he doesn't have the suspension. He's still one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Like, we're not questioning Antonio Brown's talent.
Right.
And it does seem like he has a connection with Tom Brady. Like, you know, they were
Tom
together.
Loves him.
Tom loves him. He lived with Tom. You know what I mean? Like, Tom brought him into Tampa Bay. Tom brought him to New England. Tom brought him to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay didn't want him. Like, the front office of Tampa Bay did not want him, and Tom said, I want him.
Right.
Who won?
Tom
won.
They made it work. Yep.
They made it work, and so I think, especially given the fact that his ADP is wide receiver 43 field, I am at 34. You have him at 38. We both have him higher than the consensus. I'm just saying, unless you're like, I want multiple Buccaneers wide receivers, I would argue that Antonio Brown is by far the best value and has as much upside as the other two guys.
Definitely. I think the best value might be Godwin.
Okay.
Just because he's got, I think his role is more locked in and clear. I think that the upside.
But when you say that, like, you don't think Antonio Brown's role is locked in? You think someone's
like, his role when is they locked go three, in as a wide receiver three?
No,
right?
I mean,
like,
I think
it's going to be a lot more.
I think,
like,
you got Evans and Brown on the outside and Godwin in the middle.
But I think if they play two wide receiver sets, when they have three tight ends as well
right.
that are useful,
yeah.
Like, I think those two wide receivers are going to be most frequently Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. There's a loyalty there. It's not like Chris Godwin's a slouch by any stretch. So
he's
just
terrific.
Saying, I see it.
Okay, fair enough.
Right?
That's fair enough.
Upside, though, I think is fair, right? I mean, we're not talking about one of the best receivers over the past decade. We are talking about the single best wide receiver for the 2010s, and I know that it's 2021, and Antonio Brown. Not just from a real-life perspective, but dominant from a fantasy perspective. So the upside's obviously there.
Right.
And he needs a couple of things to work out in his favor for him to achieve that sort of, not even the ceiling, but close to the ceiling. Most notably, I would think an injury to either Mike Evans or Chris Godwin. But
both
some,
of whom have dealt with injury issues
yep.
in the you
Godwin
know
broke
multiple
a finger
years
last year. Yep.
Yep.
But if you think about for a while in Green Bay, and maybe this applies still to a smaller degree, but there was a time, I want to say it was when Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb were running at their best. We'd always kind of have a third wide receiver, whether it was James Jones, whether it was a young Davante Adams, that you're saying to yourself, if something happens to either of the top two guys, you have an elite insurance policy. And it feels odd to be calling Antonio Brown an elite insurance policy when he is, again, the best fantasy receiver for a decade. But if right. something happens to Evans or Godwin, and you're taking Antonio Brown right now, in terms of ADP, in the 12th round as wide receiver 43, I mean, he's immediately going inside your top 15 wide receivers every right. single week.
Right. And my argument is I think he's going to be useful on a weekly basis, even if Godwin and Evans are healthy, because I think they throw enough, and I think he's talented enough, and I think he's enough of a connection with Brady that he finds a way.
Yeah.
He
could. He could very well.
He finds a way. So all I'm just saying is that, again, Listen, and if you had Evans, if you had two of those three wide receivers on your team, like, you're fine.
Right?
I mean, that's a team that you want, that you don't have a problem investing in multiple picks in. I'm just saying that, like, if you're picking one Buccaneers wide receiver, I just think Antonio Brown is by far the best value in terms of where he's going. Going wide receiver 43. Anyway.
Yeah, they have, I mean, they have an embarrassment of riches, no doubt about that, at pass catchers. Before we talk about the tight end, Stefania, yes, we know, O.J. Howard missed all of last year with an Achilles injury. Any concern about his availability to begin the season? Because that could have an impact on the number of snaps for either Gronk or Cameron Brate.
Well, it was a big week for him this past week. He got out and had a catch. So back on the field, and I think that's what you need to see. It's all about building trust once you have an Achilles repair. These guys have to get confident that they can jump, but they can push off, and they can have people dragging them down. And so I think that was a good first step, and there's no reason to think he can't get back to some semblance of his former self. Whether he regains what his max explosiveness or power was remains to be seen.
Yeah, a very talented player coming out of Alabama, has never necessarily been a consistent fantasy asset during his brief NFL career, and then, of course, the Achilles tear last year. But a guy who does figure into the mix, assuming he does stay healthy, Matthew, and as I said, that could mean something for Gronk. Is there value? So I'm assuming Gronk's the only tight end that right now you view as fantasy valuable for the Buccaneers.
Yes.
And how high, what's the ceiling here with Gronk? Like, the days of Gronk being Gronk are behind us. He's not going to be near, you know, obviously a Waller or a Kelsey or even a Kittle. But is he more, is he like a wider tight end 8 to 12, 12 to 15?
I have him in my second tier of tight ends because he's, at this point in his career, he's touchdown dependent. Mm-hmm. They have so many weapons. He's just not going to be a big part of, you know, I think of the passing attack, right, where he's going to get a ton of receptions, everything like that. And again, right, you have other guys there in Tampa Bay. So, right, because here's a guy that had, you know, under five targets in 8 of his 16 games last season. He had 5 or more catches in just 3 of 16 games last year. He's a guy that needs touchdowns. He needs touchdowns to pay off, and that's fine, and he'll get them. But there's a lot of there's a lot of tight ends that are younger and less injury prone than Gronk in that same range that are sort of like, that are touchdown dependent, that the weeks they score a touchdown, they're gonna be great. And the weeks they don't, you're like,
There could be a handful of 2 for 17 games from Gronk this year. As a matter of fact, last year, if you go back and look at the games that he played last season, so I pulled this.
Is this another one of those things where you should have had it pulled up before you started the
three
thing?
Three or fewer catches in 11 games last year for Gronk. So weekly, there's some upside, but there is also a relatively low floor for Gronk. Before we say goodbye, I am
a tight end 19, just to give you an idea. Like,
yeah, he's low for me too. Yeah. He's in the not a guaranteed
you
starter.
You also have a tight end 19. Looking at our
ranks. So far from
a
guarantee as starter. Daniel, do we have the clip that we can run
We do, Matthew Berry. If you wanted to catch an episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN+, we're going to show a quick clip of it, but how do people find the whole thing if they want to be able to watch it?
Well, one of the ways to subscribe to ESPN Plus, of course, is through rotopass.com.
Oh,
that's right.
Okay.
Rotopass.com, it's a collection of all of what I consider to be the best fantasy football premium content sites out there that also have a bunch of tools. DFS lineup optimizers, draft software, in-season management tools, customized ranks for whatever, whether you play season-long, dynasty, best ball, 2 quarterback leagues. So I'm just telling you, whatever you play, you need it. It's the ultimate fantasy football resource. Again, you get ESPN Plus, 12 months of ESPN Plus, plus a full year subscription to 5 other sites for one low price. Use promo code 06010 for 10% off. And again, when you have that, you'll have access to ESPN Plus, where you can watch the Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry, hosted by Daniel Dopp, where you will see this clip. Okay, now I want to talk a little bit about Kenny Golladay. All the talent in the world getting a fresh start on a new team, but still, I know this will make my Golladay-loving co-host Daniel Dopp very upset. I have some serious concerns about Golladay in 2021. First of all, there's some volume concerns. Think about last year. Even in a season without Saquon Barkley, the Giants were only 26th in pass attempts. Even worse, I said, even worse for Golladay, Daniel. With all the other options in the Giants' passing game, I don't expect Golladay to get the same target share he did in Detroit. And finally, the ongoing durability concerns. Already banged up in camp, Golladay has missed 17 games over his 4 career seasons. So that's right, Daniel. Kenny Golladay this year firmly on the hate list for me. Deal with it, buddy.
Yeah. Cool, Matthew. You know, whatever. That's pretty cool.
Kind of like I thought you'd be more upset. I mean, you honestly, you always get upset with me when I trash Kenny Galladay in the past. I mean, like,
yeah,
honestly, it's kind of why I did it.
Not this time, Matthew. Actually, to be honest, Alex, why don't you go ahead and dim the lights for me real quick?
Why are we dimming the lights? Why do you have a guitar?
Matthew, you can't hurt me when you're mean to Kenny G. Matthew, you can't hurt me. He's not on my team. Matthew, you can't hurt me. Now I am finally free. Matthew, you can't hurt me. Matthew, you can't hurt me. Oh, Matthew, you can't hurt me. You're 103. Well, you can't hurt me.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see. This 103-year-old can't hurt you anymore, huh? All right. Did you know, Daniel? Did you know there are no Lions on my hate list this year, on my wide receiver hate list? You know why? Because there's not even a single one inside the top 50 at the position. You can't hate somebody who's irrelevant, Daniel.
You know what?
That's right. They're not even worthy of hate consideration.
No,
they're
no.
worthy of ignoring.
Bleep you, old man. Bleep you. I'm going to kill you.
There you go.
So good.
That's
so
the
good.
That's some of the nonsense we have. We always say with a fantasy show on ESPN Plus is that we will make you a much smarter fantasy player and a much dumber person. And I think that clip illustrates that.
Yeah, that does it.
We had some good Kenny Galladay stats, and then you know, Daniel singing and attacking me with a guitar.
Daniel, you have the voice of an angel. That's going to do it for today. Thanks for watching the Fantasy Focus Football. And a podcast tomorrow will drop late as we're taking over the Max Kellerman Show for 2 hours tomorrow.
Boy, is Max going to regret that.
Nah, me, Matthew, Stefania, Mike, Daniel, Kyle will all be there talking about Matthew's love-hate column. Stefania's got all our injury updates. Mike's got rankings. I've got my guys. Check us out tomorrow on ESPN2, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. We'll see you then.
And on ESPN Radio, right?
And on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio. And yeah, so check it out.
Watch the NFL tonight.
Yeah, check out Love Hate. Check out the marathon. We'll see you tonight, 10 p.m. on ESPN. For Field, Daniel, Stefania, Matthew, peace out.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.